There's a foundation for success. The foundation for success as a Christian is this word we call consecration or sanctification, separation. The consecrated life is the only successful life. So I want to talk about that tonight. If you're a believer in Christ but not yet consecrated, it's going to be a little challenging. It's going to be pretty difficult. You'll always be pulled until you consecrate. If you find the world is pulling you kind of hard and you kind of pulled toward God but pulled toward the world and you're just not sure, consecration is what you need. And it'll never change until you willingly take this step and make this full decision. So let's talk about that tonight. This is Acts chapter 13. We talked about Barnabas on Sunday, but I wanted to mention this scripture about him because Barnabas was a good man full of the Holy Ghost and faith, called by God. But then again, we're all called by God. God's called us all to something. He's called us to be part of a body. He's called us to love one another. He's called us to minister one to another. There's some specific and extra calls for certain people or some people, but everybody's called. Matter of fact, God's called us all to be saved. He's called us all into the kingdom. But this is when Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, were separated. Chapter 13, verse 1. Now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. You can stop there. The rest of the book of Acts, you can read it for yourself. It's pretty exciting. But I wanted to note this. Number one, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, there's times in our life we need to be doing that. There's quiet times. There's ministering to the Lord times, worship times. There's seeking God times. There's fasting times. There's prayer times. And then sometimes together times. And in this case, they were seeking the Lord, and then the Holy Spirit said something. Who said something? The Holy Spirit said something. The Holy who? We need the Holy Spirit to be saying stuff to us. We need to open up so that the Holy Spirit can actually talk to us. Now, in this case, it was in a corporate setting. It was people in the room, and the Holy Spirit said something, and we don't know exactly how he said it. The Holy Spirit could have had a booming voice from heaven. Likely that's not how the Holy Spirit said it. Likely it was through a person. Likely it was through an inward witness and then someone else or the same person saying it out loud. A prophecy, a tongue and interpretation done through a person by the Holy Spirit so that everybody could hear. Apparently everybody heard it because they wrote it. The Holy Spirit first talks to us in our spirit. And that's what you need first. We don't go around asking everybody to say something to us. Amen. We don't go around chasing prophecies, seeing what others might dictate for us. Oh, no, 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 don't do that. No, no, you need to just live out your life with the Holy Spirit. And occasionally, he might think it necessary to give you a prophecy or a word or a tongue and interpretation, really to confirm what's already in you. Never to direct you into something you didn't have in your heart in the first place. That's the first evidence you know that it wasn't from God. Thou art called to India. No thanks. There's been a lot of weird stuff that's happened in the name of God or in the name of the Holy Spirit. You got to be careful of those things. I've had, you know, let's say 20, 30, 50 prophecies toward me. And there's about three that I said, you know, that's absolutely right on. The others I shelved. And said, well, that sounds pretty good, but I can't move off of that. God has to put it in my heart. You understand? But the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And then I wanted to get to this. He said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work. Now, in this case, they were preachers, prophets or teachers, both, called to go spread the gospel in a particular, unique way. Not everybody's called to that, but everybody's called to be separated. So I want us to think about that tonight, that we're all called to be separated. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and I'll receive you to myself, and I'll be a father to you. He said, I'll walk in you and dwell in you, and I'll be your God. Separate from the unbeliever. Come out and be holy. Remember all that? So that separation, that's consecration, that's the sanctification that we have to go through. We have to come out of the world, come out of darkness, come out of that heathen circle. You know, the tree planted by the rivers of water is the one that doesn't hang out with the sinners, that leaves the lifestyle of the sinners. And we separate. That's part of it. Without this consecration, it'll be difficult. Actually, consecration really is supposed to happen at water baptism. Okay? Water baptism is the moment that we're supposed to die to self and come up free in Christ. And then live a holy, powerful, sincere life with God. That's what really baptism in water is. It's the unification, the uniting with God, with Jesus. Remember, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. For the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's consecration. He's speaking of dying to self or living only in Christ. Now, this is deep stuff. This is high benchmark. This is a true challenge for every believer in Christ. Will you be a believer only, or will you move on into discipleship? Will you become a true disciple of Jesus, where you get to be really used in the kingdom? There's a lot of people who believe in Jesus and will go to heaven. But who wants to be a disciple? He's called us all to be disciples. So we're going for it. How many of you are going for it? Amen. Let me just give you a couple attributes so that you can picture this properly. The more consecrated we are, the more occupied with God we are. Not in neglect of natural things or family or responsibilities, but just in pursuit. There's a quote that I want to give you from a certain preacher. He's in heaven now. But he said, before your outward man is broken, you're occupied with your own things and you walk in your own way and you love your own people. If God wants to use you, in your love and use your love in loving the brethren, he must first break the outward man. Inside of us, everybody wants to love one another. Inside of us, we all want to give to one another. We want to bless one another. But sometimes if our outer shell, which is our self shell, if it's too thick, if it's too crusty, if it's too hard, even the good love of God in us can hardly get out. Like, I want to love you, but I don't have time for you. I want to love you, but man, you've offended me. I want to love you, but I just don't really like your personality. That's the outward man that's stopping your spirit from reaching out and living the life of a Christian. That outward man has to be broken, not in the sense of hurt or destroyed or suffer, just in laid down. Laid down under that water, outward man goes to rest. So some of us are just too crusty on the outside. You need to be chiseled. Really, you just need to go through the whole whatever that breaking out of your shell process is, it's called consecration. He said, for the outward man to be broken, a full consecration is imperative. This is Watchman Nee that said this, in case you're wondering. Consecration is merely an expression of our willingness to be in the hands of God, and it can take place in just a few minutes. Consecration, there must be the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Are you allowing the Spirit to discipline you? See, it gets real quiet when you start talking about consecration. You start talking about blessing and God's going to bless you and help you. Woohoo! You start talking about getting the outward man cracked open and broken, then it changes, doesn't it? So we could go through many examples. The rich young ruler, Jesus identified the one thing that was holding him back. He said, hey, you got too many possessions and they're hogging up your soul. Go ahead and sell that stuff, give it to the poor, and then you can follow me. The Bible says he went away grieved because he had great possessions. So you have to let the Holy Spirit, let the Lord put his finger on the thing that's stopping you. What's clogging you up? What's weighing you down? The Watchman Nee called it soul strength. I don't really have a good heavy example in here. Here, I'll use this. I got one free hand, and this thing is pretty heavy. This is my life. This is things important to me. This is my worldly pursuits. This is the stuff that takes up our day. And man, I want to serve God. I really do. I want to serve God. So I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to learn the Bible, and I'm going to pray some, and I'm really going to serve God now. And then the Lord wants us to do something, or we feel in our heart to do something, and it's like, oh, golly, I just can't handle it. I got too much going on here. I just got too much in my mind. And then it goes on week after week and month after month that I want to serve God. Oh, yes, I love serving God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then God says, why don't you do this? And why don't you come do this? And why don't you just take 5 minutes and talk about Jesus to somebody? Oh, man, I'm just so busy, though. I'm so busy. Kids and work and everything that's going on. And he called it soul strength. When your soul is preoccupied, it has no room. Even for the good, well-meaning Christian, there's just no room. Until you let go of this big 50-pound object in your hand, now I'm ready to serve God. Now I'm free from that heavy thing, the burden. You know, I'm not talking about not working. I mean, 50 hours of the week you're at work. 40 to 50 hours a week you're at work. Or at school. So if you're a student or an employee, hey, we know what you're doing 50 hours a week. What about the other hours of the week? Well, family, okay, well, family and kids and all these other things. But how much time are you preoccupied with your own self-pursuits? And that's really what it's all about. I don't know where everybody's come from, but I know where I came from. I was a worldly Christian, completely worldly heathen for a long time, pursuing anything I wanted to, building up everything I thought was important. I had my hands full of life. But when I began to seek the Lord, I realized I want God in my life. And somehow, the Lord helped me make a full consecration. Full consecration. I got baptized in water, but my heart was so open, so hungry, so willing, that when I came up out of the water, it was like my hands became empty. I gave up the world. I gave up all my false pursuits. I gave up my reputation. I gave up my popularity. I gave up everything that I thought was necessary. I gave up my weekends. I no longer let hunting and fishing take up my whole weekend. It could only have Saturday. Nothing could interfere with my Sunday service in church. And I wasn't a preacher. I'm a Christian who wanted to serve God, who found the delight in doing something eternally significant. And it was a radical, I mean, just totally radical change. And then I didn't really put all this together until years later, months later. People would say, well, how did you grow so fast in the Lord? I'm like, I don't know. I was just hungry. Hungry people eat. And then I realized also this consecration aspect. I had fully consecrated. I was sold out. God came first in everything. Somebody would say, God? Yes. What? Somebody would say, go do something for God? Yep. What? It was 100% consecration, or maybe 99%. Only God knows if it was 100% or 99%, but I was sold out. Have you gone through that? You have to go through it, and then you have to maintain it. God will let you enjoy whatever this thing is. He'll let you enjoy it. Just don't carry it. Don't let it be the pursuit of your heart. This is what stops people. And good, well-meaning Christians get stopped because of this soul pursuit of something that's really not eternally significant. It's just our earth desire. You know, I grew up with this desire. Or I love doing this thing. Well, just stop doing it for a while. You'll quit loving it. I quit hunting, and I don't do it at all. Anything that you'll just quit doing, you'll lose the appetite for it. Isn't that right? Absolutely. In the wintertime, I don't play golf. And then sometimes I never pick up the clubs in the summer because I lost the desire during the winter. Anyway, some of y'all get that, some of you don't. Another tip, consecration requires that you fall on the Word of God. Jesus said you need to fall on the Word and be broken, rather than it fall on you and you be crushed. That requires allowing the Holy Spirit to discipline us. We need to be willing to say the Word of God is first placed in my life. The Word of God is premier in my life. I read it, I say yes to it, I don't fight the Word. And then that Word needs to be in my heart enough to where I can instantly obey the voice of my own spirit. The Holy Spirit and my spirit are going to help me obey the Word of God. So when the Holy Spirit says, don't do that one, do that one, instantly I obey that. If you'll start practicing that, you'll get yourself back into a full consecrated life. Hallelujah. Now, I think what I'm going to do tonight, some, we're going to pray for some folks, but I'm going to help you get consecrated, okay? As long as you're willing, you know, there's something that I feel like I have to help you. Just a little prayer. Just a little touch. Just a little help to get you over the hurdle. You got to be willing, but then there's a help that others can give to you. There's a laying on of hands. There's an anointing. There's something that just get prayed for. Let a human pray for you. For some reason, Jesus felt like humans could help other humans. I mean, through his spirit. He uses people to help other people. He designed it that way. He likes it that way. He even created a whole doctrine called laying on of hands in the Bible. And so there's an aspect that you can't sometimes get fully delivered without a help of a person. And so it's all through the Lord Jesus, but man, he just likes us to like each other. He wants us to like each other enough to pray for one another, minister to one another, bless one another, encourage one another. Isn't that right? And so we're going to help you get over that hurdle and get to where you really need to be.
You know, one thing that happens when we get in the kingdom, and like Pastor Chaz said, we're supposed to instantly consecrate our lives, but we have to live a continual life of consecration. And that's done through fasting, it's done through praying, it's done through worshiping, it's done through serving. There's something about us getting to a place where as we continue in the Lord, no matter how much we've done, no matter how long we've been doing this, we have such a desire for God above all else. We have to have a desire for God that makes everything else pale in comparison. And when we're able to consecrate our lives like that, then we gain something that is of God. There are things to be gained. There's faith to be gained through a life of consecration. There's power to be gained through a life of consecration. You saw in Acts chapter 13 where they were ministering to the Lord. They weren't coming to the Lord with their own, okay, Lord, I need this. Lord, I got this problem. There's a time to do that, but there's a time to drop all that and just we're about, I'm just going to minister. I'm just going to love on. I'm just going to bless. I'm just going to praise. I'm just going to worship the Creator. I'm just going to worship the God of all gods, the King of my life, the Lord. I'm just going to worship Him. Paul and them had already, they were separated. They were already disciples. They were already following Jesus. But in this moment, they made a decision to consecrate further. And then the Holy Spirit said, set yourself apart. That meant there was a place, a further place, another level, another degree of consecration that the Lord was wanting. And had Paul and Barnabas not been willing to consecrate in that moment and continually walk that out, they would have not been able to fulfill what God had put in their heart, what God had ordained for them to do in life. We see another account in Matthew chapter 17. You know, Jesus pulled his disciples together. He gave them power and authority over devils to heal the sick people. He said, go out, you know, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, cast out devils. You know, that was a devil butt-kicking time, in case y'all don't know what that is. And he expected the disciples to be going out and doing it. And so they got with it. It says then that he got 70 more and gave them the same assignment. So they were out and things were happening and things were exciting. Praise the Lord. And then several chapters later, we see the man comes with his demon-possessed son. He says, hey, this is my demon-possessed son. And hey, man, he's wild. I mean, he's throwing himself down. He's biting people. He's foaming at the mouth. You know, he's crazy. He's hitting, slapping. I need your help. They were consecrated. They were disciples. They were doing the works of Jesus. But in that moment, they couldn't get the devil out. What did Jesus tell them? So they were a little disturbed. Jesus walks up on the scene. He's like, hey, what's going on here? And they're like, they can't help me. And so they wanted to know why. That's a good question, why? And the Lord said, this kind of unbelief, he said, because of your unbelief, this kind of your unbelief only comes out by prayer and fasting. Listen, they were already disciples. They were already praying and fasting. Some what the Lord was saying, more consecration. There's times in our life, if you've got things you're pressing into and you're not yet seeing the results, more consecration. Because what happens, that tells us that if we consecrate, that there's a place of doubt, there's a place of unbelief, there's a place of worry and things that come off of us and we're able to step in. We gain faith through consecration. We can gain power through consecration. We can gain anointing. Paul and Barnabas got anointed. They got some of the anointing to go out and do their assignment through consecration. So consecration is what we need. Consecration is what brings us closer to the Lord. Amen. Come on. Paul was continually pursuing that he would know the Lord more and more. He was consecrating his life more and more after all the years. Everything he'd seen, consecrate. Y'all remember at the beginning of this year, the Lord said to us that there was an anointing, a fresh anointing and a new anointing that was available to us through. Do you not remember? Through consecration. In other words, us having to sacrifice, us having to dig out some of that space, all kinds of things creep into our lives. And they're not bad. I mean, hopefully as Christians, you know, we're not out there drinking, cussing, smoking, you know, lying, cheating, stealing. Hopefully that got dealt with when we came up out of the water. If it hasn't, we might need to dunk you again and hold you under a little longer. We'll do it. If the arms start flailing, we know that's time to let them up. No. But consecrating, how much are we praying? How much of us have carved out 1 hour a month where we can come up here and even corporately pray? Because I always say this, when people don't have an interest in corporate praying, they really don't pray at home. It's the truth. You know, Jesus, we're so busy. We got so much going on. But God knew the day we were living in. And he said that as the day approaches of my coming, as it gets closer and closer, he said, gather together more, not forsake the assembly. We have to squeeze out all those things that try to filter into our life and pray and seek God and worship God and serve God and love God and serve people and pray and worship. And then I'm going to throw the four-letter F word of Christianity in there, fast. Because I want what's available from God, don't you? Don't you want all? You know, God said there's something for us. And do you remember what it was? It was the spirit of might. The same spirit that would come on Samson, the same spirit that David operated in at times, where they could run at the enemy and take back what belonged to them. The spirit of might comes upon us. It's one of the sevenfold anointings that's talked about in Isaiah 11. The spirit of might comes upon us. It's what causes us to have courage. It's what causes us to be bold, courageous. It's what causes us to think that we can succeed without fail. Jesus had that. Listen, he tempted like we were. But he had to have something in him to help him overcome. Hallelujah. So it's about consecration. We're going to have to consecrate further and more deeply. We're going to have to figure out what it is that the Lord wants of you. I remember one time years ago, I was still in my secular job. And I was a an accountant, and I had a busy season of the year, and I would work about 60 hours a week during that busy season, 7 days a week, 10 hours a day, sometimes 12 hours a day, and I would work and work. And at that time, my right hand, the girl that was my right hand, the only one that shared in any of my responsibility, her baby decided to come early. I mean, we had planned this out to where her baby was not going to come until after. We had had a conversation for really. And praise the Lord, she had done it right. I was so happy. But the baby decided to come early. It was premature. And I was left now in busy season with not only my work, but all of her extra work. And I was like, Lord, you know, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And the Lord said to me, he said, I want you to get up. I was sitting one day just reading my Bible, looking at something. And the Lord said, I want you to get up an hour early every morning and pray before you go to work. Now, how many of you know I'm not a morning person? So that right there was like going to be a sacrifice. Okay, I was already getting up earlier to get into work, you know, saying my prayers and doing things at night. But he was specific, get up an hour in the morning and pray before you go to work. And I'd be like, this is a sacrifice. But I chose to consecrate. Consecrating is surrendering. It's submitting. It's agreeing. It's doing whatever God wants you to do because he does know best. And I just decided I was going to do it. And God just miraculously, I would get home at the end of the day, and there was no way possible that a human, I had done this job for many years. I knew what it took to get the job done. It was supernatural. God supernaturally invaded my time. He supernaturally invaded my day, my work. He just supernaturally invaded it simply because I consecrated an hour in the morning to him. I'll never forget that. When we think we can't, there's something in that. There's something in the submission of that. There's something in the surrendering of whatever it is, your sleep, your whatever it is. If God's asking it, he'll meet you in the middle of it, and you come out. It's like there's a progression that takes place. There's something that happens to us when we consecrate.
Told y'all it was going to be deep and heavy tonight. Hey, but what better time to do it in the beginning of summer? Let's kick it off right. It's a change of the season. What better time to make some adjustments, to have some spiritual pursuits? You can still go on your vacation. But get a new habit going. Get some new habits going. Hallelujah. This process is where the divine exchange is made. Your life, a little bit more of your life for his life, a little bit more of his life, and then you get happy again.
So I just heard the Lord say, he said, if you will ask me to be hungry like you hungered when you first met me, and if you will take a step toward doing something that demonstrates your hunger, I will take hold. And I will create in you a hunger and a desire from the things that your heart knows that you need to be doing. What that means, that's what the Lord just said. What that means is that we don't have to do it on our own. We need to ask. And then because we believe, we have to take an initial something. Because this is bigger than lip service, church. The Bible says, you know, that we can say words, but our heart can be far from them. This is not about giving lip service to something. It's about really falling upon the truth of it and committing to it and saying, I'm going to do it. I'm consecrating this. I'm doing something. I'm giving up. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. We have to pray. You have to pray more. I'm telling you, folks, you have to pray more. We're going to have to pray more. But we can, and it should be a delight. We meet with God in our prayer. It's not a drudgery to pray. It's a meeting with God.
Yeah. All right. Y'all want to do something? Don't think of this as some sacrifice, like, oh, man, I got to sacrifice this thing. Think of it as a business decision. Think of it as an analysis. I'm going to make a cognizant decision that's important. I'm going to weigh these things and say, you know what? that's better. Whatever that might be in your life, wherever you're at, whatever you want in the Lord, just say, you know what, whatever it takes, that's more important to me. And it's going to take up some of my soul time. These things of God, something of God's going to take up some of my soul that's been reserved for my own personal things. Now I'm going to do that for God. So pick a few of those.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.